Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So far, our sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is our substitutionary Savior, dear fellow redeemed. I'm going to begin this sermon this morning with a one-question quiz. Using three words, describe Christianity. For those of you who were in Bible class this morning, or if you read your bulletin and saw the text and theme, you already know the answer. Describe Christianity in three words. He for us. Every other religion in the world is described with every person for himself. Christianity is the only religion that is described he for us. So what does that mean? I want you to picture in your mind the cross. Picture in mind the cross upon which Jesus was laid. Rough sawn lumber, probably a lot of splinters. But look closely. There on the cross, you see many names. Many, many names written there. Is your name there? Yes, it is. Is my name there? Yes. But look closely again. Next to our names, what do you see? Many, many sins. Many sins are written on the cross too. Are your sins there? Are my sins there? Yes, they are. Sins of omission, things we should do but we don't. Things of commission, things we shouldn't do but we do. Sins inherited, we're born with. Actual sins, sins we do commit. Great, small, sins in thought, word, and deed. All the sins engraved upon the cross. So who carries this cross? Who's laid on that cross and nailed to it? Who suffers and dies on the cross? Not you, not me, the ones whose sins are engraved on that cross, the ones who deserve to be placed on the cross. Jesus lays on that cross. Our Savior died on the cross. Now, if Christianity was described as every person for himself, then you and me would be carrying the weight and burden of all those sins, of all those iniquities. We'd be the ones who would be nailed to the cross. We'd be the ones who'd suffer and die and endure eternal damnation. But God be praised. In his Bible and Christianity, it's he for us. So again, who do we see? Not only carrying that cross and dying on the cross, but bearing the burden and the punishment of all of our sins? Jesus. He for us. A graphic picture of all that Jesus has done for you, for me, for us. And what greater section of Scripture, except the very history of Jesus' suffering and death in the Gospels, can we see so clearly laid out before us, except for this section in Isaiah 53. One man wrote that these words in Isaiah 53, especially 4 through 6, it's the gospel in a nutshell. Don't need to add any more to it. Here is revealed in all the Old Scripture, Old Testament, the clearest gospel message of salvation. This section sets all the messianic prophecies from Genesis 3:15 to Malachi 4:2 into their proper light. All of Isaiah's prophecies concerning the virgin-born son, the Prince of Peace, the rod of the stem of Jesse, the cornerstone of Zion, the servant of the Lord, all find their fulfillment in these words from Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. May the Holy Spirit deeply impress these words upon our hearts this morning in our study. The first thing we see from Jesus' humiliation is that it was voluntary for us. We read verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Those two are verbs, born and carried. They're not passive, meaning it's happening to someone. They're active. Someone is doing it. Literally, they mean to lift up, to take up a burden, to carry something away. This is a voluntary action. Jesus willingly lifted up our griefs. He willingly carried away our sorrows. He endured all of our sufferings, all of our sorrows, all of our sins, and eternal death and damnation for us. Notice all the times we hear he and our and him and us. We read again, he has borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Seven pronoun phrases. Now leads us to our second point. Jesus' humiliation was endured by him in our place. That's substitutionary to the fullest extent. Everything Jesus did was for us. His whole purpose for coming to this world was for us. His whole reason for living a perfect, obedient life according to God's law was for us. His whole reason for suffering and dying upon the cross was for us. All for us. Why? Because he wanted to save us. He took our place. He became our substitute and endured it all for us in our place. You know, it's difficult to portray the greatness of this thinking and the willingness of our Savior to do this all in words. So picture again that cross. Picture seeing your name on that cross. Picture seeing all those sins next to your name. Sins of pride, vanity, lying, selfishness, lack of love, swearing, cheating, hatred, the three G's, greed, gambling, gossip, laziness, lust, neglect of God's word, despising the Lord's Supper, disobedience to our parents and others. And the list could go on and on. It'd take the whole service just to list all the sins of ours. We've been guilty of every single one of them in one way or another. We deserve to be punished for them. We deserve to have all of them laid upon our soul and to be damned because of them. But unbelievably, God in his incomprehensible love has taken all that we deserved and laid them on his one and only Son, Jesus. Jesus suffered and died because of our sins. He was damned because the sins you and I committed. He died because we disobeyed our Father. Here we see the real horror of our sins. Here we see how repulsive our sins are to God, who is holy and just. And here we also see how every sin has to be punished. There is no sin that is just kind of insignificant, doesn't mean very much. Every sin needs to be paid in full. Our Lord says, the soul that sins shall die. And he says that if we offend in just one point, we're guilty of all. When God in his love for us punished his Son, he could not go easy on him. He laid on him the full penalty, the full punishment of our sins, And he burned against his son with all of his wrath, all of his hatred, because of our sins. Maybe we now better understand the seriousness of our sins. When we see the seriousness of our Savior's anguish and his suffering. One hymn writer so beautifully wrote, and we'll be singing these words later on this morning, "Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here on the cross, here may view its nature rightly. Here his guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed. See who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God." So great was Jesus' anguish, his suffering, his punishment, his death, that many thought that God was punishing Jesus for some great crime that he must have done. Isaiah says, "We esteemed him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God." Man looked upon Jesus as being a terrible man, one who committed some great crime because God the Father was punishing him with the death on the cross. The unbelieving Jews accused Jesus of blasphemy. And they taunted him. They said, "He trusted in God. Let God deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." They were sure in their hearts and their minds that God would not have Jesus because he was a blasphemer and that he was being punished now because of his blasphemy. Earlier in Jesus' life, when the unbelieving Jews wanted to stone him, they told him the reason they wanted to stone him. They said, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." They condemned him for blasphemy and felt that God was punishing him and declaring him that he was not the Son of God, and he is punishing for that. But Isaiah clearly tells us the truth. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus suffered all of this because of our sins, not because of any sins that he ever did. He wasn't guilty of blasphemy. He is the Son of God, equal to the Father, sent from heaven. He has no sins. Our third point that we see in the last verse of our text, verse 6, and the point is, Jesus' suffering and death made full satisfaction for all our sins. The Lord, through Isaiah, calls us wandering sheep. He says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We rebellious, self-willed people have turned to our own way, wanting to do our own thing, walk in our own paths rather than God's ways. We've done what's right in our own eyes, not in God's eyes. We've wandered around with no guide except for our sinful nature, the sinful world, and Satan." But amazingly, instead of us sheep, us rebellious sheep being punished, who's punished? The shepherd of the sheep is punished. Jesus lays down his life for us, for our rebellion, for our wandering, for our straying, for our sins. The Lord says, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sins of us all." All the consequences of our sins, all the results, all the sorrow and grief was laid upon Jesus. He bore it all. All of the burden and sorrow Christ carried away. Not only did he remove all of this suffering and death and condemnation, he gives us great blessings of peace and healing. The warfare between God and our Heavenly Father has now done away with. Peace has been made between us and our Father, and God's love has been poured out into our hearts. Remember the story of the prodigal son? He was sorry for what he had done. He was going to come back and be a slave for his father. What did he receive instead? His father's forgiving love, coat, family ring, a big meal, rejoicing. The son who was lost has been found again. He's been redeemed. We have that same experience. Sins taken away, love of God in our hearts. Back on June 13th, we studied Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9. And that's the stories of the virgin-born son, the prophecy of the virgin-born son, and the child with the four names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. On that Sunday, early summer, we sang a Christmas hymn. Today, now, in late summer, studying suffering Jesus, we're singing some Lenten hymns. It wasn't Christmas in June. It's not Good Friday in September. But what better hymns for us to sing? What better truths and lessons for us to learn every Sunday of our lives than this message of Jesus, who came for one reason: to live, to suffer, to die, and to rise for you, for me, for all of us. Knowing this, then, will make our Christmas worship in 3 months from now much more special. We'll know why we celebrate Christmas, why Jesus came into this world. We'll know the meaning behind Christmas, because in this section of Isaiah 53, we have the one meaning for Christ's coming. He for us. He atoned for us with his suffering and death in order to make us at one with our Heavenly Father now and forever. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.